This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flag goes high for the rebound and scans the horizon, moving left. Those long steps, touch for Knipple, left wing three. Here's a splashdown. Duke by 16.
It's the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network with the call, and Duke has been all that it was hyped up to be. Two pretty easy games for them, Pearl, and it looks like the public could be right about this. Now, we got a long way to go. We're just at the Sweet 16, but they were the betting favorite coming into the tournament. More people picked them to win the national championship than anybody, according to, you know, all the websites that are keeping track of this type of thing, and they've looked like the national champs.
Well, yeah, Auburn had a struggle in the second round, and so did Florida. I think it's Houston actually has looked strong, but their bracket's not super elite. So I think Duke feels like the team to beat, but can we really judge anything based on Baylor? I mean, I remember coming in the tournament, all the experts were wondering how will Duke match up against Mississippi State. No one even counted Baylor as in it. So I'm still a little dubious. But it does seem like the betting odds are really swinging Duke's way.
We are asking you on X a couple things. First of all, you've got your the Maggie and Perloff movie sequel bracket. You can vote right now. Gotham City region open. Who's going to advance to the Sweet 16? We're also asking you a couple questions. One, is Duke the only college basketball brand that matters? That is not my take. That is an Andrew Perloff exclusive.
That one I feel 100% confident in.
I don't think so. You got a lot of heavy hitters left in the Sweet 16. It's basically been all heavy hitters. This is not a Cinderella bracket. And in fact, the only Cinderella you could really squint and say fits the bill is oddly John Calipari's Arkansas team, which is a 10 seed, but they have a Hall of Fame head coach. So it kind of feels a little odd to call them a Cinderella or an underdog. Because it is Coach Cal.
Well, actually, that is a, I mean, if you're talking about like ratings, I think that is a team that could do a lot for you, Arkansas. But generally, the last 2 years have been the lowest rated men's finals we've had. UConn, Purdue, UConn, San Diego. So you need Duke. The big numbers are always Duke. And then you mentioned a program that's in the same category, UNC, but I don't think they're there anymore under Hubert Davis. And I don't think Kentucky's there. Mark Pope seems like a great coach, but he needs to build that up. So I think right now it's Duke or bust with a little spice with Cal.
Interesting. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476 is the new number to call. We are also asking, are you rooting for John Calipari? kind of an unceremonious exit from Kentucky, for sure. Two first-round exits and a second-round exit in his last three tournaments. And, you know, he lands at Arkansas. And, Pearl, I think there were a lot of people who believed his way of doing things is over. You know, recruiting the freshman and the guy out of high school who's going to be one and done, you know, you can't win that way in the tournament anymore. Lo and behold, he's got a mix now of transfers and freshmen, and here he is back in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, but has he proven that model yet?
I mean,
he'd be kind of a, I mean, St. John's, if they could hit the ocean with one of their shots, probably would advance. I think it's a little early to say proof of concept there.
That was a tough end of the game. I mean, it was an entertaining game between Arkansas and St. John's. St. John's loses to Coach Cal, but nobody could make a shot in the last 3 minutes. I mean, by the end, no one could make a free throw, and it wasn't even close. They were hitting front iron.
It's so weird now because we used to judge these teams based on NBA talent, and it's just really not there throughout the tournament. The good teams, you have Cooper Flagg, you have Derek Queen, but generally we're not seeing a lot of NBA stars from any mock draft I'm looking at. Those guys are all either playing somewhere else or gone already. So I think it's hard. Like Arkansas, St. John's, if you saw them nakedly, would you say, oh my God, St. John's is so much of a higher seed? No way. They look similar to me.
888-710-4ISN. All right, let's hit the phones. First, our pal Nick in Texas, who is the proprietor of Pearl Jam Season 4, the Maggie and Pearl Off. This is our conventional bracket, men's bracket. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Well, good morning. Now that we're halfway through the most of the teams and into the Sweet 16, I'd like to give the audience a little update on where everybody's standing in the bracket currently.
Fantastic. What do you have for us?
All right. Well, we'll start from the bottom. We got Andrew Bogish in 97th place. And then we have EJ, who's coming in 59th. Manny, who's actually coming in 25th. Al Perloff, he's in 77th. Maggie, you're actually in 72nd place. And then speaking of Duke, we have friends of the show, Zach Gelb and Mike Samter. Zach Gelb is in 15th. Mike Samter is in 102nd. And then we have Pearl's wife, Sarah, who's in 83rd place.
Nice, Pearl. But Sarah's in 83rd place. I'm sure she'd be thrilled.
Now, there's one person I left off because he's actually doing amazing, and it's Cap. Kapp is actually tied for first place.
I know. Andrew Kaplan, who is the wizard kind of behind the curtain of this show, is tied for first, Pearl. He admitted the other day he's watched 0 minutes of college basketball this year, which is fine. He doesn't have to watch college basketball to be good at his job for what he does for this show. 0 minutes, and he's tied for first. Explain yourself, Cap.
Any surprise there? Of course, that's how brackets work.
Man, Nick, this is a great update. Nick, where are you in the standings?
Let's not talk about that. I'm down kind of in the bottom last three, I think, out of all of that. Yeah, so this will be the last time I auto pick because I did so many brackets, and so I just hurried up. But in my other brackets, I'm actually doing well. But the one for the show, I'm down at the bottom. Very, very bottom.
Well, there will always be a Pearl Jam Season 5. Yes.
Nick, you followed this really closely. Don't you feel like this year is more up for grabs because everyone's still alive? I'm looking at the max points allowed, and we're all right in the mix. It doesn't matter if you're one or if you're 150 right now.
Correct. Yeah, no. And a lot of you are still alive, too, with Michigan State, Florida, Auburn.
Yeah, I think if Maggie gets Michigan State through, she is in the mix.
Definitely in the mix. But currently, the top person right now is Jeffrey Duggan. He's our current leader.
And do you know who Jeffrey has winning it all? The Maryland Terrapins.
Maryland. Yes.
Maybe Jeffrey knows something that we don't know. So it's there's four people tied for first.
Right.
And again, we're talking about Pearl Jam Season 4. This is our pal Nick in Texas who's on the line, who creates the Maggie and Pearl Off, like our conventional bracket here, and he calls it Pearl Jam. So here's the top four people: Jeffrey, who's got Maryland; Anthony Martinez, who's got Duke; Barry Bernardo, who's got Florida; and our own Andrew Kaplan, who also has Florida.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And Pine Needle's seventh, but bad news, Pine Needle.
Pick St. John's.
St. John's winning it all.
I know, but still holding tight. Well, Nick, we're excited. We can't believe it's halfway through the tournament. And check in with us again soon, okay?
I will. You guys have a great morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick in Texas.
Halfway through the tournament.
Is that about right? No.
I guess half the field is gone, but there are a lot more games.
Yeah, no, we have a few more games, don't we? Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four, National Championship game.
Your math isn't that far off.
which is rare, because it normally is.
Yeah, I'm going to let Steelers Depot know about this misstep there, Maggie.
Yeah, Steelers Depot, by the way. Still haven't heard anything from them. They inaccurately aggregated something that I said and attributed to me when it was actually something that Perloff had said.
Yeah, and the clip is very clear that I said it.
Yes.
From the get-go. The clip is basically me saying that.
And yet I'm the one who's being called a crackhead because Perloff said that Mike Tomlin has earned a lifetime contract with the Steelers.
Which I never said. I said he has a lifetime contract with the Steelers, not that he's earned it.
Jay is in Nashville. Jay, you enjoying the tournament so far?
Yeah, I am. Well, I enjoyed it downtown. I told you I was going downtown to watch it, and I got to watch it on I got to watch that Duke game on a really, really big screen up in my face with a half chicken and some yellow rice or something else. I don't know. I was just getting at it. But, yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, even though we had like a tornado warning, but it didn't deter anybody. Everybody was still walking around. It did look a little shady outside, but I mean, it was good to sit down and watch the game. Duke looks really good. I sat up and watched. I missed Auburn the day before, but like both of my teams, I picked to be in the final. I picked Auburn to win it all, but I picked Auburn and Duke to be in the national championship. So I'm still good there. And I sat up last night and watched my hometown team, Arizona Wildcats. That was a good game between them and Oregon last night. Which I mean, they could have won any other way, but Arizona looks really good compared to what they look like in the regular season. I didn't know what was going on with that, but and it was a pretty good thing, though.
Yeah, listen, Arizona and Duke set up in the Sweet 16. I'm not mad at that. I'm hoping that somebody can finally give Duke a little bit more pushback. But Jay, I'm excited. I'm glad, first of all, that the tornadoes, you know, it was much ado about nothing, because we saw what happened with some of those tornadoes last week. Just pure devastation. It was so sad. So I'm glad it was like, a false alarm, if that's the right term. And glad you had a great time watching the tournament.
Yeah, it usually is like, you know, a false alarm. I think that's what kills everybody. I mean, not literally kills everybody. That was the wrong choice of word. But yeah, a lot of times you get tornado warnings all the time, and it's like everybody's like, yeah, whatever. They'll get so many false alarms, but but it still was pretty cool. It was like the weather was warm, but still it wasn't hot.
Yeah.
The sky looked ominous. I was outside in front of your bar, Tootsie's, too, and that was funny. I was like, that's the bar she was talking about.
I know. That's the bar where I met one of the members of NSYNC.
Yeah, and it looked shady as I don't know what, and people were still on top of the roof looking at all that shady stuff in the sky. I was like, you guys are like lunatics up there. But, oh, yeah, and I saw that thing with Juju and And Jayden, I know what you're talking about. I think it maybe the way they were like putting it out there was making it look a certain way, and it probably really wasn't. I really hope it really wasn't, because the way they made Jayden's mom look, it, like if it really was that, I'm sure she's going to look at that video now like, damn, I really need to back off. So I'm like, dude, that kid is a grown man. He plays a grown man game.
Jay, thanks for checking in, dude. I don't think she's thinking that way. So this was a video that was circulating on social media of two very young famous athletes, Jayden Daniels and Juju Watkins, and they look like they were kind of sitting next to each other in a game, flirting with each other, and it's like, wow, this could be a fun sports power couple. And then the next clip is Jayden Daniels' mom sitting literally in between them. I think it was some fun with editing, but I'm rooting for this relationship now.
I don't know. Sounds like there's some sort of corporate shenanigans going on.
Oh, you think it was like Gatorade set it up or something?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, was Jayden Daniels, is he on part of that? Is he off with Micah Parsons doing a show? No, I guess he's not. But generally, all these young players are doing things on social media where there's like a secret corporate tie-in that comes out. Also, isn't Juju busy? I don't understand how she has time to be watching a game with Jayden Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this was a recent clip, right?
It was from when, so I guess she just played.
Yeah.
And she.
Oh, it's after she played.
After she played or before, probably not before.
Yeah, probably after.
Probably after she played, she was just sitting in the stand watching them play another game.
Got it. By the way.
Her wrist is, I wonder how it's going to be. She got hurt in the last round.
Just for fun, I went through, looked at champions. in our bracket, you could see who everyone picked. The teams that people have lost already, one guy had Kansas going through to the end. That's a dark horse.
Well, optimist.
Yeah, a few Iowa States are already down. I think with the injuries, that's a strange pick, too. A couple Wisconsins. Nah, oh, man, that's tough. That is tough. Our buddy Big Cat had a really bad weekend with Wisconsin. Sorry.
888-710-4ISN. So we got a little update there for Maggie and Perloff, Pearl Jam Season 4. As we mentioned, the Maggie and Perloff movie sequels bracket live, the Gotham City region, is available for you to go vote right now. All right, we got to get to a lot of NFL news from the weekend. Quarterback stuff, including Aaron Rodgers. Where was he and why did he leave that place without a contract? Got the latest for you next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. So we had some news on Friday. Aaron Rodgers visited the facility in Pittsburgh, spent multiple hours getting to know the coaches, and he walked away without signing a contract, which is not a surprise to me because I think that the second day of the NCAA tournament is not a big enough event for Aaron Rodgers to upstage by actually signing. I think he wants to wait for at least an Elite Eight matchup to take the headlines. Yeah, I mean, Friday, day two, no, that's not enough. Because Aaron Rodgers has to be dramatic here.
Mm.
I lean towards it's happening. Of course, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, said, what is it, a safe bet.
That's safe bet.
It just makes all the logic in the world that he's now going to sign with Pittsburgh. Do you have any doubts?
Well, I think it's funny that if you hear from the New York Giants side of things and from their reporters, who the Giants side, Jameis Winston, to back up money over the weekend, they're saying they think the door's still open for Rodgers to come to New York. And I just can't tell if this is delusion a little bit by the Giants side of things, or maybe Rodgers is planning a visit there too. I have no idea.
Maybe he's leveraging the two.
Possible. But
does he even have to plan a visit? Because he has a house in Jersey right there.
Well, you can't just show up at the facility, right?
Right, but I don't think it has the same travel impact. I don't know. You don't have to fly there.
No, just you drive. Don't, but...
Actually, I don't think he's spending any time in Jersey right now.
Maybe not.
Did he sell the house after the Jets?
We haven't heard. So I think he's still got the house. Listen, he's such a multimillionaire. It doesn't matter. Keep the house. But I don't know. I think that maybe he has to sleep on it and think on it. And to be honest, you know, the Steelers would be lucky to have him. I've said this. As far as their other options are concerned, you want to go back to Russell Wilson. I can see it. He's got a relationship with George Pickens and had one with DK Metcalf going back to the Seahawks days. But I think the Steelers are kind of SOL here. And I wonder if they'd hope that he would have signed and put pen to paper after 6 hours in the facility. But, you know, I could also see Rodgers wanting to sleep on it, think on it a little bit. At the same time, it's been weeks. I mean, it's not like there's been that many teams who have been in on Rodgers. It looks like the Vikings, the Steelers, and the Giants are kind of the three.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I assume you've been thinking about it for a while.
Yeah, no Cleveland yet. Unless it was a really desperate situation, I don't think Rodgers would take the Cleveland job. So, it's funny. I think Pittsburgh needs Rodgers. New York does not need Rodgers at all because they are... I understand the coaches on the hot seat, but they have to rebuild. They are not a team that needs a 41-year-old quarterback. You generally do not add a 41-year-old Hall of Fame-level quarterback to a 3-14 team. He's got to be the missing piece, right? He's got to be added to a team that is ready to win in the playoffs, not a team that will be lucky to be 9-7. What would be the point of that?
Well, guys are trying to save their jobs. I think that's probably first and foremost. But secondly...
Which is
the wrong point, but it's a reality. And I think the other part is it's not a given here with the Giants. They're picking third in the draft. In some ways, it's kind of... It's not terrible, but it's not exactly where you want to be because you have no idea what Cleveland is going to do. It looks like maybe the Titans, they have not signed a veteran. So you could say, all right, Cam Ward, that could look like a lock.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody knows what Cleveland's going to do. They signed Kenny Pickett as a backup. They still got this Jameis Winston contract that they're on the hook for. He's out with an Achilles. They need a quarterback. And they didn't even dip their toe. They didn't even try to turn Matthew Stafford's head. I don't even think they'd have money for that. They didn't try for Geno. Like, I think they have to be going quarterback. So if you're the Giants, you're kind of screwed.
Well, not if they sign Rodgers and have Winston as a backup. That opens up that three pick to non-quarterbacks because there's a double whammy here. A, they might not get the quarterback because he'll go to Cleveland. Then B, take it for what it's worth. There are a lot of draft experts who don't think Shedeur Sanders is worthy of the number three pick. He is very polarizing in the media scouting community.
But let's just say Shedeur is definitely the second best prospect in the draft. And even that's not a given.
Right.
But you think it's a reach maybe to go Shedeur at two. How about like a, Jackson Dart at three? That's definitely a reach.
Oh, my God. That's beyond a reach.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, again, if I'm the Giants, you're kind of screwed here.
The kind of reach we see every spring. As I said yesterday, look at any mock draft. March 24th, do you think Bo Nix and Michael Penix were top 12 picks at this point last year? Penix, until the days before the draft, was considered a second rounder. In fact, there was nobody thought he was going the first round. So guys get pushed up. Maybe Jackson Dart's that guy. Maybe Tyler Shuck's that guy. Maybe Milroe is that guy. But still, again, not ideal situations. If I'm a Giant fan, I actually want Rodgers there because that means you are not taking a quarterback at three. And if it all goes south, then what happens? The universe wants Arch Manning in a Giants uniform, just like his uncle Eli.
Oh, man. It almost feels like the Giants shouldn't be rewarded in that way because of some of the missteps that they've gotten themselves into this mess. Like, do they deserve a bailout by getting Arch Manning?
It's how the universe works.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, did the Spurs deserve Tim Duncan? Did the Colts deserve Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning? No.
Maybe. It's a fascinating one, that's for sure. 888-710-4ISN. I thought for two guys, and the head coach and the GM, who definitely are on the hot seat, the Jameis Winston signing was an odd one. Now, I know he's going to be a backup. It's 2 years, $8 million, no threat to a starter. But depending on how this goes, you might be asking him to start a significant amount of games for you.
You need a body, though.
The Jameis Winston experience is exactly that. It's an experience watching him play.
I hear you, but at least he's a veteran. I think they could do a lot worse. I mean, that's the kind of, who are they looking at?
Well, I thought Russell Wilson would have been the more interesting.
I actually, and by the way, Russell Wilson still could end up there.
Yeah, which is weird to me. That seems very redundant. So you're basically going to sign two backups?
Yeah, I mean, that's what Pittsburgh did last year.
Yeah, and where to get him? I mean, to the playoffs, but not a playoff win.
It does feel, if they sign two backups and don't draft a quarterback, then it feels like they are preparing for next year's draft. If it's Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, then it's somebody next year.
Bogus, you're a Giants fan. You saw the Jameis Winston news came down, and you thought what?
I thought this would be fun, that we might get a laugh or two out of this. And I think this means that they're going to draft a quarterback.
At three?
No.
Somewhere.
I still think, I saw a mock draft that has them, I guess, coming back or moving back to 19 to take Jackson Dart. They have a very early pick in round two. Maybe they stay there. But yeah, I think this means, and this is the way why I wanted Stafford, this is the way it should go, is they should take this the best player available, non-QB at three, and then get their quarterback the next time around.
Can I tell you, this is shaping up eerily similar to when the Giants drafted Daniel Jones.
Stop it.
I'm telling you, they had the sixth pick that year, and they had, 19? Ended up being Dexter Lawrence, I think, from the Odell Beckham Jr. trade. It was either 17 or 19. I can't remember. And they thought they were going to pick somebody with that sixth pick, and it was going to be the quarterback with the 19th pick, and it was going to be Daniel Jones. And then they got oopsie-duped by, I think, Denver. I can't remember who started the rumor that they were taking Daniel Jones. And they ended up taking him at six because they talked themselves in and said, listen, if we're going to take him at 19, we might as well take him at six. They will do the same thing with Jackson Dart.
Yeah, a lot of rumors about Dart, Jets and Dart, but the Saints and Dart.
But the problem in that scenario is that Daniel Jones wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if they take Jackson Dart or any Milroe or the Shep, I don't know how to say his name.
Yeah.
If they take that guy anywhere and he's good, then it doesn't matter what else happened. The problem with Daniel Jones was he was Daniel Jones.
Well, that's playing Monday morning quarterback.
No, but
at the time, did you know it?
I mean, that's not the way I wanted to go there.
But I do agree. Jackson Dart comes in with a lot more pedigree than Daniel Jones. I mean, Jackson Dart was Gatorade Player of the Year, USC, Ole Miss.
Right.
Daniel Jones was the Duke quarterback, for God's sake.
Yeah, and they should, I would have, more certainly in retrospect, it would have been nice for them to go, we don't need him at six, but he was a complicated prospect at six or in that first round. And they were just flat out wrong about him.
Yeah, but there was also, it was not a great quarterback draft that year.
Exactly, like this one.
May he rest in peace. Dwayne Haskins was the other player they were looking at.
Yeah, so I think that analogy really works in that sense because it's quarterbacks getting way pushed up. The fact that, I mean, I was laughing about everyone on TV saying Tyler Shuck is this wildly talented quarterback. Yeah, was he that way in 2017 at Texas Tech? You weren't talking about him like this or whatever, wherever he was at that time?
Here's the thing. I have no sympathy, though, for the Giants because they keep doing this to themselves, which is they could have taken a quarterback in 2018 when they had the second overall pick and took Saquon Barkley, and they could have taken a quarterback last year and decided not to do it and took Malik Nabers.
Or they could have not won games with Tommy DeVito and taken Jaden and Daniels, and this would be a completely different conversation.
Yeah. I thought it was, I think I said, Michael Penix at number six was the right pick last year. I did not understand why Penix was getting shortchanged in all the mocks. I know it was the health. By the way, Tyler Shuck was at Oregon in 2018. I just want to apologize. Because I know people in Eugene are listening. 2018. That is 2 years before the pandemic. Tyler Shuck was the Ducks quarterback.
Manny was in preschool in 2018.
That's right.
Aren't you noticing that now with the NCAA tournament? When I saw Lamont Butler, I mean, this is a while ago now. It's like, wow, he hit that huge game winner many years ago.
No, that was last year.
I thought it was the San Diego State he hit the game winner. That wasn't last year. That was 2 years ago.
So 2 years ago still. That's actually not that bad.
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, these guys have been around.
Yes.
Which is funny because normally when you're around a long time, it makes you more popular or maybe people are more invested in you.
No.
I'm not finding it's that.
It's now it means you're not talented if you stick around, right?
Yeah, especially in basketball, it means you're not an NBA player. Or you started at a place and you played 3 years in obscurity and now you're spending your last year or two playing on a bigger stage.
Well, not all the time. I mean, I didn't think that Zach Edey was going to be a great pro, but he gets a lot of burn with Memphis.
Yeah, because I think people were pegged him wrong.
Okay.
And he liked staying in college.
Yeah, but he's an example of he stuck around for a long time, eventually got to the national title game, and has actually been a good pro.
Good, but I think the reason that he wasn't a top two or three pick, because the upside on Zach Edey, you could see it. It's like he's going to be a serviceable big man for life.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But again, I think if you stay in college, I do agree with that. If you stay till you're 23 in college basketball, that's an indictment of your talent level. And there's no way around it. Football, and by the way, we say the same thing. How many times have we compared Tyler Shuck to Brandon Weeden already?
Yep,
Come into the NFL at 24 or 25, the odds are stacked against you that you're going to be good.
Well, did Shuck play baseball? I don't think so.
No, he redshirted his first year at Oregon, even though playing, and he got the extra COVID year, and he's just there.
Lifelong college.
No Mormon
players.
Trip. I look for a Mormon mission. I can't find one.
All the usual things that we look for.
Yeah, we used to have, now with the COVID year, just look at the age of some of the dudes in the tournament. That's all you need to know.
We're old. The Mormon mission was the thing. Like, that was the reason why a guy was still in school like 25.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's about 19 different possibilities.
Yeah. Well, we've had Mormon missions recently, though, right?
But it used to be like that was
the reason. Why is he 23? It's like, because he spent the last year like in Tanzania.
Right.
Yeah.
And next year's number one recruit going to BYU, right?
But I don't think he's going on a Mormon mission.
AJ Dipansa, whatever his name is. You could say it.
I think you're good.
Is he going to go on a mission? Or
to
is
the
he
NBA.
Go pro?
It's funny. They put him right in Portland. That's where the mission is. Bogus has headlines for us.
As you guys have mentioned, only four conferences represented in the men's Sweet 16. That is the fewest ever. And 15 of the 16 come from just three of the leagues, the SEC, the Big 12, and the Big 10. The SEC accounting for seven schools, including Ole Miss, a 91-78 winner over Iowa State. Florida, who survived a UConn upset, 77-75. Kentucky, who downed Illinois, 84-75. And Alabama.
In the front court, Bylon comes away with a steal for Alabama. Two on two. An alley-oop and a jam for Grant Nelson. They are celebrating on the far sideline, 72-60, as we come up on 5 minutes left to go in the game.
Scott Graham on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Alabama running away from St. Mary's for an 80-66 win and a third straight trip to the regional semifinals. Duke is the lone ACC team in the Sweet 16 after thumping Baylor 89-66. Michigan State and Maryland repping the Big Ten. Sparty down New Mexico last night, 71-63. And the Terps stunned Colorado State 72-71 on Derek Queen's buzzer beater. And Arizona outscored Oregon 87-83 to give the Big 12 another rep. Caleb Love, 29 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists. From the women's bracket, Notre Dame sent Michigan home 76-55. Hannah Hidalgo, 21 points. Up next is TCU, Haley Van Lith with 16 points, 10 assists, to beat her old team Louisville, 85-70. The Horned Frogs in the Sweet 16 for the first time ever. On the coaching front, Iowa is hiring Drake's Ben McCollum to replace Fran McCaffrey. Just 2 years ago, McCollum was at Northwest Missouri State, winning his fourth Division II national title. Texas fired Rodney Terry yesterday and should soon replace him with Xavier Sean Miller, and NC State officially hiring Will Wade. The Anaheim Ducks had a special pregame speaker last night against the Hurricanes. It was Chargers head coach Jim Harbaugh.
What an honor. This is incredible. It's the kind of stuff I live for right here. This time right before the game, and I can see the heart going. My heart's going too. I was always like one of those race horses at the Kentucky Derby, you know, before a game. Like, you can tell. I mean, they got a little sweat. They got a little sweat coming down. You can see the heart pumping. Snot bubbles coming out. I mean, you guys are fucking thoroughbreds, man.
But he wasn't done, Maggie. The Ducks have some kind of like bow and arrow motto thing. So Harbs had to run with that as well.
Let's go draw the arrow back. I just feel that. I feel that strong. That's strong. Like, right there, right? Draw back as far as you can. Aim and release. Take your freaking shot, man. It gets me right there. So go out and play as hard as you can, as fast as you can, as long as you can. Keep your wits about you, and don't worry. Win on three. One, two, three.
When you watch the video, the Ducks are laughing at this as if he's Will Ferrell mimicking a head coach. And then they lost 4-2 to Carolina, so none of it mattered. None of it worked.
Come on.
He didn't even do the who's got it better than us. Like, you got to end with the signature thing. This is what the crowd wants.
I don't think the crowd in the locker room got. They're all laughing like it's a bit.
Well, what's funny about that is Perloff and I interviewed Jim Harbaugh at the Super Bowl, and even he gave us the who's got it better than us. Like, you got to end with your closer.
Can we be honest about that interview, though?
What?
There were some life lessons that Jim Harbaugh was trying to teach us that we had a bad Zoom connection. So some of the messaging got confused.
A little bit.
He's like, before,
that's not our fault. He didn't come to Radio Row. We were there. We were ready.
Yeah. He's like, he was sick or something. But he said, like, before you leap, make sure you buy some eggs or something. It was just because the Zoom cut off. We didn't even know what he was talking about.
I'm wondering, would have it been better if Harbaugh went to another one of his tricks, which is reciting a monologue from Henry V from memory, which is, we found out when one of his former Michigan players said, all of a sudden he just breaks in. Like, you can tell he's searching. He's not really sure where to go. And it's like, all right, am I doing the Shakespeare thing this time? Or am I going to do
the snot bubbles?
Am I doing the snot bubbles? So am I doing the bow and arrow thing?
He just starts a sentence without knowing where it's going.
No clue.
Yeah.
I'm starting to notice something of your observations of Jim Harbaugh, Maggie. Mm. When Harbaugh went to the NFL after Michigan, you wanted him as the Buffalo Bills coach. I'm sure you still do. But at that point, you were thinking about Jim Harbaugh as the next Super Bowl coach. Now I feel like some of the comedy is overwhelming your viewpoint of him.
Is it
now,
not?
Yeah, like all of a sudden, him as a potential Super Bowl coach is not the only thing. It's what's he going to say next?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of what I'm waiting for here. But I picked the Chargers to make the playoffs last year, and he did it.
So I just sent Manny to the Ducks Twitter feed to watch the video of this speech because they posted it. Because Harbaugh's got two circular containers, one in each front pocket of his khakis.
Okay.
Is he double zinning it?
Oh, boy.
I don't think those are zins. I think that might be actual chewing tobacco because I'm looking at his mouth and it looks like there's a wad in there. You can't really tell that there's a wad in my mouth right now, but you can tell that there's a wad in this dude's mouth.
And he's got one in each pocket.
Yeah, no, he's definitely got one in each pocket. I definitely see the indentation of something circular in his pants. But I do believe that's chewing tobacco.
Like, I've never seen that before. One on one side, one on the other.
I don't do chewing tobacco because I was scared off after watching The Sandlot. I'll just
everyone
do the
puking.
Yeah, I'm good on that. So I just do the zins. Yeah, of course. But no, I think this is chewing tobacco. And yeah, the guys are definitely laughing at him as well. Like, these dudes are sitting in their locker. Some of them have their mouths cupped over their hands cupped over their mouths.
They're all like from like
they're
Russia.
Hockey players. No, I mean, there are a lot of Americans, Canadians, but they're like on the verge of committing like assault and battery with a stick and sharp feet. And they're listening to this guy talking about snot bubbles.
Well, I mean, come on, football players are tough. Like, it's not that far off. It's just Harbaugh. I didn't think that's funny if he had a whole lip full of tobacco in. That's amazing image.
And they lost.
Well,
gotta say that again.
It's a long season.
Yeah, they're bad. Hurricanes are good, but no motivation from Coach Harbaugh.
Well, that's
last
also
night.
Harbaugh. Like, you gotta be, if you're giving the motivational speech, it's like the players only meeting. You gotta be strategic about this. You gotta have that players only meeting or the speech before the most beatable and the most winnable game on your schedule.
Yeah, that's true.
Because then it looks like it works.
This is bad planning.
Is
they were going to lose anyway.
There? I mean, come on. What is the attention to the details? Maybe Connor Stallions should get hired by the Chargers, as I've always said. Harbaugh owes that guy a job.
I'm sure he's being taken care of.
I don't think so.
You don't think there's a...
I watched the documentary. He's like persona non grata. I don't think that. No. I don't think this worked out for him.
He was terrible. He got caught 100 times.
He was doing it for a while before he got
caught. The worst college football spy of all time. Every other program had 6 guys on camera who had successfully done what Connor Stallions had done.
It was the fake mustache. He went too hard.
Yeah. He became a TV character. No, he was clearly very bad at his job. Otherwise, we wouldn't know who he was.
Bogues, did you catch that the Anaheim Ducks had that bongo player do the national anthem?
I did not catch that. Last night, too?
No, this was a couple of nights ago. Oh, okay. There was this guy who did an interpretive version of the Star Spangled Banner and just started singing it. But yeah, no.
Do you have it?
I don't have it readily available. Maybe Ryan can find it in a bit. But even Trevor Zegras was dumbfounded at it.
Even Trevor Zegras?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he said that's why we gave up like 2 goals in the first period.
Because everyone was just so in awe by the bongo player?
Yep, they were distracted.
Hockey's having some national anthem issues.
That's an all-time excuse. Yeah. It's amazing. We were distracted by the world-class bongo player. We just couldn't get that performance out of our minds.
Yeah, it happens. Been there.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then I want bongos when we come back. I want world-class bongoing. Nothing less is going to do.
We're on it.
Okay, guys. We're going to do that. Oh, and we've got to get to this football story that we have not gotten to yet. It's M&P.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
By the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed.
Good job, guys, finding the bongo player from Nashville at the Nashville Predators game who did the national anthem.
Amazing.
And apparently the team was so distracted by this incredible performance, they let up 2 goals in the first period.
They said they got off to a really bad start. I don't know if it was exactly 2 goals, but it was nice.
Because they were just so mesmerized by the world-class bongo player.
It was pretty cool, I have to be honest.
Yeah, it's not really the national anthem, though. It's not like he's just playing the bongos and then singing the national anthem over it.
It worked. It worked for me.
He was just trying to catch a vibe.
Yeah. Cool. I think he caught it. Perloff tried to catch a vibe yesterday. Pearl, yeah. Tell everyone where you were.
So I went to the PSAL versus the CHSAA championship. So this is New York City's public school champion versus their Catholic school champion. Stepanak versus Jefferson. Throw out the record books. Apparently these two teams play all the time. And I was going on to tweet about it, and I went to Stepanak basketball, and lo and behold, followed by Manny Rodriguez. I'm like, why does Manny follow this particular team? This is your hood.
Yeah,
you do some work for them.
This is basically the team that I do play-by-play for whenever they have their home game, Stepanak. And yeah, I mean, there's now the three-time city champions, three-time CHSAA versus PSAL champion. So, yeah, you got to watch some high-quality basketball. You got to see some very good players on that Stepanak team that I think will be playing in the NCAA tournament one day.
This is just hilarious because Manny talks about this all the time. And Perloff's like, what is this Stepanak team? I'm like, Manny literally talks about this every day. You're definitely not paying attention. He's like, why does Manny follow Stepanak? I'm like, because he loves him. Because this is the team he talks about.
He also talks about how he was basically keeping score for the New Rochelle baseball games.
Well, Manny gets around.
Oh, yeah, big time.
So,
love to get around.
A staple on the sports scene.
Love to get around.
You said you were blown away by how good these high school players were.
Well, yes and no. There was Stepanak had a 7-footer who blocked about 14 shots in a row, and they just dominated that game. But for some reason, it was a game where I watched the warm-up, and they hit every three-pointer. They were like St. John's in Arkansas. They were about 1 for 40 from 3-point.
Oh, it's high school.
But you could see they could all, I think they're playing in a neutral gym, and I think the sight lines were off for them because somebody had told me, oh, these are very good 3-point shooting teams, a lot of college level players. I was thinking the whole time, how could I fit into this game? I would have been a spot up catch and shoot guy.
No, yeah, you could definitely be just hanging out in the corner, and once the defense collapses on Carbucci, who's trying to drive into the paint, there you are, Perloff in the corner for three. Kaboom.
And how tall are the brothers on that team? 6'11", 6'9"?
Yeah, so Adonis Ratliff is listed at 6'9", while Darius is listed at 6'11".
So are they going to big colleges?
Yeah, these two have basically been offered by basically the same Big Ten and SEC school. So, I mean, yeah, there's only one senior on that Stepanak roster. He's going to UMass. The rest of them are you know, juniors and sophomores. And all of them, if they don't have mid-major offers, all of them have Power 4
offers. These two
brothers
feel like Kentucky, Kansas kind of players.
Yeah, no, off the top of my head, I don't have I actually probably do have my notes on me. But the Ratliffs definitely do have offers from Mississippi States and UCLAs and among those.
Well, what was funny about what Prof's talking about is that, yeah, these players did look very good in person. And they're going to some big colleges, but some not. And think about how good the college players have to be. Oh. And most of the college players don't even have a sniff of going pro.
Right. Because even the guys who are recruited don't necessarily make it to this level where they're actually starting for these college teams.
Well, there was an NBA player last week, and we forgot who it was, who said this on their podcast, but they said that if you took an NBA player in their prime, just one, and you put them on the worst team in the NCAA tournament, they would win the tournament. So, like, for example, in this instance, if you took Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's likely going to be the MVP this season.
So you're taking the best
basketball player, and I put him on American University, who lost in the first four. American was out of, I don't even remember what athletic conference. I don't even know what they're in. Patriot League, whatever. That they would win the tournament just by virtue of having Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I don't believe that. I think you could box him one, Shai Gilgeous. I mean, maybe back in the day when you had Lou Alcindor, it was 7'3". But no, to me, first of all, some of these players are the same age as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, these days.
I don't see it. Do you think it could happen?
I don't think it could be I don't think it could be the worst team in the bracket. I think if you put like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on BYU, I think they're winning. I think if you put him on, you know, I'm looking at another lower seed.
BYU's a six seed.
Yeah, I think they're winning.
Arkansas, I don't know. That'd be close. I'm not so sure. Especially a player like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, an outside player. Prime Shaq, I could see it. I don't know. LeBron, I could see it. You have to be gigantic. I just don't think SGA would do it.
You can go to our Twitter handle, at Maggie and Pearl on X. We got a couple polls we want you to vote on. Number one, Pearl, if you're getting slaughtered in this one, is Duke basketball the only brand... Is Duke, rather, the only brand that matters in college basketball? 85% say no. They do not like that.
That wording is... Let me ask you a question. Is the rating for Duke going to be 50% higher than if Duke's not in it? I mean, I'm telling you right now, if Duke's not in this final, the women's game will beat the men's game again.
You think so, even without Caitlin?
Yes, because the women's game, the men's games are getting like 13, 14 million with no Duke. And the women's game was 18 last year. If you get UConn, you don't think they can beat that? They're getting a lot of primetime placement over the men's game. I would, if you get, say, let's say it's Houston versus Auburn, that is not going to get eyeballs.
And you think that would be do better? That would lose.
Like if
to,
you got USC, and I don't have the bracket.
No, USC and UConn are playing each other before.
If you
the
got
fans.
UConn, South Carolina, can we get that?
I believe so. Yeah.
Mm.
I think it's going to be close. The Caitlin effect, I think, is something that is going
to
be hard to.
Well, my point was Duke moves the ratings tremendously, and there's tons of history on that, and the ratings are way down on the men's games. Not only they get beat by the women, they've had the two worst years I think ever in the tournament.
The other question we're asking you on X, are you rooting for John Calipari? He's kind of become weirdly an underdog, which is an odd spot for Coach Cal to be in. 63% of you are saying no, you're not rooting for Coach Cal. By seeding, they're the Cinderella. If you're just going by the highest seed, they're the 10th seed, so they would fit the bill, even though their coach has been to six Final Fours, won a national championship, and is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I can't do it. Can't do it. I mean, part of it's the Temple fan in me and the John Chaney, John Calipari fight
really
from 40 years ago.
Holding on to old stuff.
It's college basketball. You never let go of that.
We also have the Maggie and Perloff movie sequel bracket. The Gotham City region is open, so go there and vote, and you will determine who moves on to the Sweet 16.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun. By the way, can I give you one more thing? We were talking about this. I did this little piece on the best basketball players in the NFL. And it's the quarterbacks. And a lot of these could have been college-level players. Joe Burrow could have easily been a D1 player. Also, C.J. Stroud. A bunch of players were big time. But do you know the draft prospect who was a huge basketball prospect?
So the draft prospect, this year's draft,
this
a quarterback
year.
Who was a huge basketball recruit?
Yes, who was a baller.
I mean, I want to say Milrow just because he's so athletic. But
a little short.
I was going to say, and also he's... I'll say he's inaccurate, but like, is would he be a great shooter? Oh boy, is it Shador?
It is. Cam Ward was a baller. Now it's a little confusing because there's also a superstar high school player, number one recruit named Cam Ward, who I believe is going to Michigan State next year.
A different Cam Ward.
A different Cam Ward. But Cam Ward in the Columbia, Texas. Was an amazing, amazing basketball player, was going basketball his whole life.
Wow.
And then a quarterback coach said, you're not tall enough to make it to the pros. You're 6'3", or 6'2", 6'3". You should try football. Your upside is higher. I thought that, and I was shocked. It's just a reminder. Again, I see it with all these highlights. You have to be so good to just get to college and then to get the next level. And Cam Ward, again, another reason I'm picking him number one overall.
Well, think of where Cam Ward started. It's not like he came out of high school and all of a sudden went straight to Miami. I mean, he had to go to Incarnate Word and work his way to Washington State.
Yeah, he was a pure running offense, a wing tee in high school. Never got to throw the ball, so he wasn't recruited by anyone. Was a bigger basketball recruit.
And listen, I think Tennessee has basically telegraphed what they're doing here because they have been non-existent on the veteran quarterback market. And they hold the number one overall pick. Doesn't take much to connect the dots there. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez. Thanks to Ryan Botcher. Great to see you, Ryan. Thank you to Andrew Kaplan, to Andrew Bogish, the Weedos, the coffee drinkers, you guys on the phones. Phenomenal. We're back tomorrow with a whole lot more fun. It's Maggie Perloff.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.